Here is Andres from Spring Valley.
Damn, big room. I'd like to thank Larry for asking me to speak and for all the support that I got here tonight, that was here when I didn't know they would be here, and just for my family for also being here. I'll be honest, I've been wanting a chance to speak here for a while. And I always got to have, like, the best thing to say because, you know, I'm so important and everything I say is gold. So, but that's a little bit of honesty. So I still got some of that spiritual pride going on. So I'm here to talk a little bit about, like, what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. You know, as far back as I can remember, I've always definitely felt a sense of a deep-rooted sense of shame for who I am and everything about me. There's just something wrong, something different, something that I should be striving for that I don't have yet. And I always need something a little different, something more, something better. And that comes along also with just a lot of feelings of loneliness, feelings of being a loser, feelings of being a coward. Because whether it's true or not, that's how I always felt. And I always can compile evidence to point to that stuff. But I'm not here because I have those problems. Those are human problems. I can meet a lot of people outside of the rooms who could probably identify with that. I'm here because of the weird relationship I have with alcohol. I started drinking, I guess, when I was 15. But based on my experience, I don't believe I became alcoholic till I was about 18. I crossed that invisible line, but really, like, it doesn't matter when or how or, like, what happened. The point is I am one now. I crossed that line, and I identified with that physical allergy that the book talks about. You know, that idea that once I physically put booze into my system, I have very little control over how much I'm going to take in that night, no matter what I have going on or what I need to be doing. You know, like the drink just has a certain way of taking over my thought process and my drive. And that itself wouldn't be so much the problem if that's all I had to worry about, you know? Because if I knew I had this, you know, abnormal physical reaction to booze, I could just say, yeah, I'm not going to ever do that again. And but my problem has always been up here. And, you know, the book calls it the crux of this problem called alcoholism. That's that. My default is always to go back to alcohol. You know, I'll always kind of find some rationale, some reason. Not even a reason. You know, like, the thought will cross my mind that a drink's a good idea, and I'll take it. You know, I'll just get out of jail telling myself I really need to put the brakes on this. And, you know, like, 3 days later, I'll be drinking just as I was before that. And, you know, it's really interesting because it doesn't matter how smart I am, how logical, practical, or driven, or even, you know, analytical, or even, like, I could even have a full knowledge of, like, what's going on with me and the fact that I drink abnormally and that I got this problem, but it won't keep me sober. You know, like, I heard them reading in the More About Alcoholism, all these methods that we have tried, or that I have tried to stay sober, and none of them work. You know, before I got here, I had to identify with the fact that I was hopeless. You know, the book uses that word. It uses words like hopeless and doomed. And, you know, to me, those aren't just kind of like little window dressing words. Like, I had to look at what that meant. Like, hopeless, you know, I'm beyond human aid. That this is a condition that over any length of time that isn't going to get better. And my history with alcohol proves it. Any time in my life that alcohol's been a part of it, my life has gotten worse, even when it seems to be getting better. Because there's brief moments when I can put the brakes on my drinking, you know, until I get some stuff back, and until I get, like, you know, repair relations with my family, or, you know, get back on track with, like, what I need to be doing in the world. But I'll always go back to the idea that it's okay to take a drink. And it doesn't matter what the consequences are, whether they're really severe or whether they're pretty minimal. You know, my mind will rationalize, and I'll think it's a good idea to take a drink. And that's my experience with alcohol. So for a really long time, it seemed like I could only really hurt my family. It seemed like everything I did always kind of led to just playing a part in making them feel feel really bad about, like, you know, who I was and stuff. And it took a little bit of pain, and it took a little bit of me willing to accept that, you know, it's not their fault, it's mine. You know, I'm the one adding up all this stuff. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, it wasn't because I had this really desire to be a great guy. You know, it's a I got to Alcoholics Anonymous because I was out of ideas. You know, or I wouldn't say out of ideas, but I was out of faith in my ideas at that point. Because I can always come up with a new plan or a new kind of like direction that I should probably go for, but you know, the problem isn't like this plan or this method. The problem is just like my mind and the way that like I rationalize and the way that like I think and justify my behavior. So I got here willing to open my ears to another suggestion. And you know, like I met a guy in these rooms who was of service. He was just another alcoholic like me, and you know, he might not have been perfect, but he did all the things that mattered. He was of service. He went to meetings. You know, he had taken these steps. He had worked with others, and he showed me by example, you know, what it meant to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember going over to his house, you know, like one day, and he opens a book, and he's all like, "Give me a pocket big book." He's all like, "Okay, so we're going to read this." And I was like, "Really?" In my head, you know, I'm all, "Really? This is the best thing we can be doing? You know, reading this book?" And, like, isn't there some more action or whatever that we could be tamed? But that's what we did. And that's how it kind of started for me. You know, I had to come up against some old prejudices, especially about the God idea. You know, I had gone to Catholic school, and I was done with that when I got here. You know, like, so I had a lot of prejudices concerning that, but the book told me that I didn't have to swallow all of that stuff right away. It just told me that I had to stop arguing. And that was pretty much the attitude I went with to move forward. You know, I stopped arguing with this idea, is there God, isn't there one? Who really cares? The point is that I'm alcoholic, and if I'm desperate and willing to do anything, then that should be the only motivation for me that matters. And that's what I went with. So against my better judgment, I took the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I owned up to my character defects. I made amends to a lot of people that I didn't really think were good ideas at first. You know, I'm all like, can we really put this off, or does this really need to happen? But it was brought to my attention that a lot of those did. And at the end of that was what we call this spiritual awakening. You know, I was able to finally come to realize that there's another way to live life than by being dishonest and by being manipulative and being self-centered pretty generally most of the time. And that there was a way to grow into that and, you know, a better life with the help of the people in Alcoholics Anonymous and this power that we talk about. And I have a lot of people in my life today that, whether I wanted them to or not, have helped me. I have not been able to grow on my own. You know, I have a lot of people today that I run stuff by and that give me practical advice whether I take it or not. You know, I'm at work and my boss actually told the other coworkers, you know, if Andres says you're good to go, you guys are good for the day. You know, that didn't happen before I got sober. You know, like I made amends where I had to pay some money back, and somebody, and they treated me to some food afterwards. You know, like that's stuff that can only happen in Alcoholics Anonymous. Today I have an amazing relationship with my family. I had an amazing talk with my mother today where, I was able to just be honest on levels that I've never been capable of doing. And that didn't originate in here. Like none of this stuff originated in here. I've come to believe that there's a power greater than myself in these rooms that allows that to be possible. So if you're new today and you're not sure, you know, I've sat in the back, you know, 14 days sober, nodding out because I can't sleep and just like feeling anxious and can't sit still, and I don't get this, you know, and now I'm speaking at it. You know, that's funny. funny to me anyway, but there's a way, there's some stuff that we do around here. You know, by no means do we have a monopoly on any way to get sober, but this is something that people were willing to show me that they did, and I had no options, so that's what I do to stay sober, so thanks for letting me share.